Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, the Victory Monday edition. If you missed the breaking news at the top of the first hour, Raiders running back Josh Jacobs arrested on suspected DUI early this morning near Las Vegas McCarran International Airport. A one-car accident. He is okay. No one else was injured. You can find that story up on silverandblacktoday.com for some more details. You're back here, Scott Gulbranson, along with Q Myers. Also, tomorrow's show is jam-packed as well. You don't want to miss this week. The season might be over, but we're just getting started here on Raider Nation Radio. Tomorrow, Max Crosby, Raiders defensive end, will join us at 2:30. Max Crosby will be with us on Tuesday. Vic Tafer from The Athletic, we'll talk to him and get a little postseason reaction from him, as well as Marcus Johnson again from Tape Don't Lie. We're going to talk a little bit about the Raiders' offensive struggles towards the end of the season, and then, of course, Jesse Merrick, who joins us every Tuesday. So another just jam-packed show here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. All right, Q, you ready to turn the page and look towards next year, man?
Yeah, I mean, why not? It's 2021 already. It's the calendar 2021 year. Why don't we go ahead and turn our attention to, you know, what the Raiders could potentially be doing in the upcoming draft?
Yes, and we all know the defense is the priority. And so joining us now is a good friend, a former co-host here on Silver and Black Today, and our draft analyst at silverandblacktoday.com. That is one Mr. Kelly Kreiner. Kelly, welcome back to the show, man. It's been a little bit of time. I know a lot of folks ask about you. Glad to have you back.
Gentlemen, longtime listener, first time caller. I love it.
That's a new booty, man. You ain't no new booty.
New booty. That's right. All right, Kelly. Well, you know, for those of us who are looking towards the future for this Raiders team, Q's mentioned it just in the last few segments, even on this show and into last week, about this team on defense. There's so many needs. What they really need is they need some alpha dogs. Of course, they're going to try to get some of those in the free agent market. But when we focus on the draft with you today, I mean, in my view, there's really three key needs. That's at defensive tackle, that's at the edge, that pass rush continues to be one of the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL. And then, of course, you also have need in offensive line. When you look at this draft, Kelly, out of those three positions, which has the most talent available coming up in this draft, and which has the least?
Offensive line, you've got a lot of good talent up there. You've got Sewell up top, who's, you know, he's the guy. Raiders are going to have no shot at getting him. But once you start getting into the, even like the fourth, fifth, sixth tackle, I mean, you've got some talent in there to where you're going to be able to make, maybe you don't have to go the first pick at 16 to get a tackle, you know, if that's what you're looking at, to where that second pick, you're going to be able to grab somebody. Because I think edge and, you know, outside linebacker, however you want to cut those, there's some talent there, but I don't see that depth like you see at other positions. So I think they need to attack that earlier than later.
I feel like looking at the draft and looking at this Raiders team in particular, Scott pointed out a lot of areas of need, but I also feel like sitting kind of there in the middle of the first round, the Raiders actually have a good opportunity to kind of just let that board fall and then just take the best player available, because – and literally best player available, not just at position of need, but literally the best player available, because I feel like anybody really right now is going to be an upgrade on the team.
I had that exact same conversation with somebody last night. I made that exact same comment. You're right. There's not like they're a one plug-and-play guy away from making this defense that much better. It is best player available, because you can take the best player at any position and basically start them on day one. So instead of trying to, you know, pigeonhole maybe your second or third best guy into a spot of need, just take the best person you can and then make it work from there.
Yeah, and of course, again, we're talking to Kelly Kreiner, our draft analyst at silverandblacktoday.com. And Kelly, you look at that middle round, to Q's point, I mean, there's some, depending how things fall, there's everybody from, you know, Caleb Farley, a cornerback, although it looks like Arizona kind of is a guy that might need him and fall there. You have other wide receivers. You have, of course, defensive linemen you mentioned. You have linebackers, a guy that you and I both like, Jeremiah Cormois from Notre Dame. It looks like that Miami Miami could be in on there too. But with the Raiders falling around 17, and if it is the best player available, can you imagine what Raider Nation would do if the Raiders took an offensive player in the first round? Or do you think that there's not going to be enough of those impact kind of best player available on offense that John Gruden won't be tempted?
If Brown gets cut, which a lot of people think he's going to, you got a big hole at right tackle. I think if they went offensive line, I don't think the fans would be too torn up about that because they know how important this line is to this offense. But if they go in, you know, like if they went, like even if a guy like Kyle Pitts from Florida falls to you at 16, I mean, this guy's got a chance to be a star. The last thing the Raider fans want to see is another tight end on the field. So I think they're all going to be wanting to go defense. And I think like it'll be like Christmas Day if Quiddy Pay somehow falls to the Raiders. I think he's going to be the guy when it comes draft time every Raider fan's going to want. One guy, Rousseau out of Miami, you know, he decided to opt out for the year. Nobody's seen him for a year. He only has 1 year of production. I don't think it happens. But, I mean, there's a chance a guy like that, if he slips, if Joseph Asai, if Quiddy Pay, if these guys get bumped up in front of him because they actually played last year, he might be a guy that the Raiders could go after. Or even if he falls a little bit, make a move up a couple steps. Because I think this year, if you're wanting to trade up, you're going to be able to get a little more value. It's going to be a little cheaper to trade up than it has in the past because everybody's going to want to trade down because nobody's got any idea, you know, like the guys that set out. These guys haven't played as much. What's the combine going to look like? These guys have no idea. So with all that uncertainty, I think you're going to be able to move up a little cheaper than you could in the past.
Now, I like to watch Alabama football. Just a big fan of what they do. And obviously, it's almost like NFL light. You know, it's like watching the NFL minor league. And, you know, Dylan Moses is a guy who got banged up a year ago and then decided to return, which I was surprised. But where do you think a guy like Dylan Moses would slide in when he didn't really have the best season, but you still know he's a heck of a linebacker?
I've been singing his praises for 2 years. I had him in my first mock draft going to the Raiders. You know, last year I was surprised he went back to school, to be honest with you. But it's one of those things that I think the biggest problem, I mean, it's just the position in general, the Raiders have spent so much money on linebacker. Are you going to see him spend a high pick there again? You know, at least with Koromoa, he could be that big safety, small linebacker guy where you can kind of play him in two places. But with Dylan Moses, he's just that middle linebacker. That's all he's going to be able to do. So, right. Like, you draft, and you're going to have to, you know, draft him rather high. That first or second round pick is where he's going to go. It's like, are you admitting defeat on the Corey Littleton contract already? Are you pushing that to the side? It's going to be kind of, I think it's going to be kind of tough to get him in there without a whole bunch of more questions being answered or being asked.
Kelly, one other question on a linebacker. What about Joseph Asai? I know he's a guy from Texas, junior coming out early. He's a guy that I love watching play. Is he a guy, too, that if the Raiders – I mean, the Raiders, to me, they just have not selected linebackers near the top of the draft, but it is a need. Yes, they have other glaring needs, too, but is he a guy you'd consider at 17?
I think he's going to be that name next to Koromoa that you're going to see in almost all the mock drafts for the Raiders because it's – he's a linebacker, but he's that 3-4 edge. I think if you put a little bit of weight on him, you can move him down to the edge. He's got that tall, angular body with a big wingspan. And the guy's just – he's still learning how to play football. I know that scares a lot of people when you hear that, but, I mean, he – you know, he hasn't been playing his whole life like a bunch of these other guys that are out there. He's still learning the nuances of the game and just his size, speed, and athletic ability. You know, if you, like I said, if you put a few pounds on him and move him just to a defensive end, or if you do have him as that rush, as that outside linebacker, you know, he's going to offer you enough of both to where he can, you know, he's going to be somebody you can squeeze in a couple different places. So he's going to fill a lot of holes, but it's just the fact that there's, he, like I said, he's still learning. There's so much upside there. It's going to be exciting to see what he can do in the next couple of years, and that's going to kind of start pushing his draft stock up, in my opinion.
Kelly, let me ask you this question. What do the Raiders need to do, and who do they need to put along that defensive line that's going to help free up Max Crosby and put him in more favorable positions so he can eat more than he did in 2020? I mean, he had a sack in Week 10 and didn't have another one until Sunday. So, I mean, that was a big, long stretch, and it just looked like his matchups weren't favorable for himself.
That might be something that I would look at free agency on the defensive line. I'm not done looking at the defensive tackle class, but there's just nothing too exciting to me in this year's. Like, there's definitely no, like last year, I was a huge fan of Brown out of Auburn. There's no guy in that same class in this one. You know, a couple of years ago, I was hoping that Quinnen Williams would have fell to four. So look at him. There's nobody in that same league in this class. You know, Marvin Wilson out of Florida State's a guy that, like, if you're looking in that second round to tackle that defensive line, he would have definitely been the first round pick, in my opinion. Had the leg injury, you know, missed the rest of the season, so everybody's kind of, you know, wait to see how he comes back in shape. But yeah, the defensive line class this year, there's quantity there. There's a lot of guys there, but there's nobody that you're just sitting there thinking, I have to have this guy on my defensive line. This guy's going to be a difference maker. So if they're looking for defensive line help, in my opinion, I'm looking at getting a veteran in there, making a trade, or trying to hit it up in free agency.
Kelly Kreiner, our draft analyst, Silver and Black today, is our guest right now. And Kelly, with about a minute that we have left with you, talk about the challenges for this draft. I mean, you have a lot of these kids who either played a very shortened schedule or a schedule that didn't include a lot of the top line talent that they're used to playing, depending on which conference they're in. And so how hard is it going to be for the teams like the Raiders and their scouting staff to really select these guys? Some of these guys' tape is going to be a year old.
Yeah, you're going to find out who trusts their staffs this year. If you see a team trading up, you know right there that they trust their guys, because you're right. You've got limited tape on some of the guys. You've got no tape on some of them from this year, and a lot of the guys. And the biggest thing, they don't even know how they're doing the combine yet. They're not even sure how that's going to work. So basically, you've got all these guys kind of flying blind. So you're going to have to, you know, going to have to trust your people. You know, if there's somebody they're standing on the table for saying that we got to have this guy, you know, I think you go get him. You know, for the guys that took the year off, they better be in the best shape of their life when private workouts come around, or that's going to be a huge knock on them, because you had all this time to do nothing but prepare, and you obviously weren't doing that.
All right, Kelly Kreiner, our draft analyst. Kelly, thanks for joining us, man, and we'll get you back on in a couple weeks to kind of review some of the past draft classes, 2019-20, now that the season is wrapped up and we've seen 2 years of the 19 class and 1 year of the 2020 class. Kelly, thanks, man. I'll talk to you real soon.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks. Good to be back on.
All right, there you go. Kelly Kreiner, you can follow him on Twitter at Rating the Draft. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Q, we're going to catch up with Hunter Renfro, man.
Some call him the slot machine. Others call him Third and Renfro. It's time for our weekly conversation with Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfro. You're tuned into 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, exclusively on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back, Scott Gilbranson, Q Myers with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. And Hunter, what a way to go out of the season. You guys finish at 8-8. I know you fell short of your goal to make the playoffs, but man, this game went down to the wire. It was exactly just a copy of last year. You have to score the touchdown, and then you have to get the two-point conversion, and you do so. Talk about how you felt after that game as a unit to go out with this nice big win and then to fly home and enjoy it a little bit on your way back to Las Vegas.
Yeah, a little different than last year, a little different feeling coming home, but it makes you feel like at least something you did was worth it, you know? We were in same position last year, 7-8 going into the last game. Could go 7-9 or 8-8 and just had to finish the right way. And it came down to a two-point conversion just like it did last year. And this year we made it. So makes you feel like you did at least a little something extra, if nothing else. But it's good. I think it will give us some good momentum going forward. And that's what we need. We just need to keep riding momentum and keep getting better.
Hunter, how big is that? You know, just thinking about it, you got one game better than you did last year in your overall record, and a lot of Raider Nation are going to say, yeah, but, you know, should have been a 10-win team, 11-win team. I mean, I believe that myself. But how big is it to end with that win and at least see that there's a little bit of improvement? There's been, and you know you have more talent. It's just a lot of young guys, and you guys are still trying to all come together, but you're starting to see steps in the right direction.
Absolutely, and I think you nailed it on the head. I think we could have been a 10 or 11 win team as well, and have a 10 or 11 win season as well. But we're close. We're getting better. We're just a few breaks here and there. But we just got to keep getting better. And you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You just continue pack on those blocks and you stepping stones and you just get better one day at a time, one season at a time, one victory at a time, one two-point conversion at a time. And so I think it was good for us to finish that way last night or yesterday afternoon, whenever it was. But good, and like I said, good momentum, and we're going to hopefully carry it on and build from it.
Yeah, again, we're talking to Hunter Renfro here on 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. And Hunter, you know, this game, again, it was a little bit of a seesaw battle. A lot of people expected the Broncos, you know, again, for fans, they see this word tank and they think that there's professional athletes who actually go out there and don't try. And you know better. You went out there. You saw this Broncos defense really put up a spirited effort. Talk a little bit about what they were doing that frustrated you guys a little bit earlier in the game.
Yeah, they're stacking the box, you know. We only have so many guys that can block their defense. And when they stack the block, box by bringing safeties down, then it opens up some big throws like to Nelson Agholor, to Bryan Edwards down the field. And so anytime a defense wants to take the runaway, you'll notice it by having those safeties creep up a little more, and instead of being 10 to 12 yards deep, they're 6 to 8 and they're ready for the run. And so you have some unblocked guys, and they were doing that early. But in the second half, we were able to get to some runs that helped us out, and we were able to hit some passes down the field that were able to loosen up the run. So it worked out, and that's why football is such a team sport, and everything builds off one another.
Hunter, we know that the NFL is a business, and of course I'd never ask you to talk about another man's money and his business, but Nelson Agholor is an upcoming free agent. You know, there's a possibility
Absolutely,
that he may get another deal from another team. How big of a deal would it be to bring Nelly back? Like, how much did he mean to the team in 2020, where you could build off of that with him another year moving forward?
Yeah, he meant a lot. He meant a lot out on the field, but he meant a lot in that receiver room and in that offensive room. Just the type of leader he is, how hard of a worker, how committed he is. I mean, he'd be in catching jugs at 5 a.m., you know? And so every morning, and he's always in there to get treatment and extra stuff, and that's what it takes to be a champion. And he knows that because he is a champion, won the Super Bowl with the Eagles. And so it's good to have a leader like that, first off, to be able to bring young guys like myself, Brian, Henry, up, him and Zay Jones do such a great job of leading our room, and just his performance on the field as well. You don't just get that production back from anyone, and he's done a great job. He's worked hard, and I think he can have another great year next year, and that's what I'm going to try to recruit to him, and that's my sales pitch, and see if we can get him to stay, because we'd love to have him.
All right, and then you got to keep texting Mike Mayock, right? You got to make sure, hey, Mr. Mayock,
yeah,
work Nelly
both
in
ways.
The room,
yeah,
would you?
Work both ways. Yeah, exactly. It's not always the players. Who knows?
Yeah, but Hunter, the other thing too is, you know, you being in your second year is now over, and we've talked to you on this show over the course of the season about some of the other young guys in the room, and of course yesterday we saw Bryan Edwards finally hit pay dirt. The kid is such a big kid, and you've known him since you guys were young.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what it was like to see him finally get that first NFL touchdown and have a nice performance yesterday.
Yeah, that's rewarding for him. Nelly got banged up a little bit, and so Brian was able to show what he does. And he was really the guy coming into the year, and he got banged up in the Patriots game, and Nelly kind of took off. And so that was unfortunate for him. But he just put his head down. He kept getting better. And I think the dividends that he's paid this season will pay off in the future, just how he prepared, how he worked. And you're able to see that a little bit come to light in the yesterday afternoon. But as he has a full off season now under Gruden's offense and be able to kind of digest things, and because he coming out of college, he just kind of came to training camp. We didn't have an off season last year. And so I'm excited for him to have that. And I think he's going to have a awesome year next year. I really do. I he's a baller, and he's going to prove it.
You were the guy that was right there on the spot when he got that touchdown catch, and it was a heck of a catch. I mean, all hands from Bryan Edwards, but then he spun the ball right there in front of you. You picked it up. Did you tell him that, hey, this is your first NFL touchdown. You got to keep this ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't remember. I mean, Tyrell Williams did it for me Because in the moment, you're just excited. You know, you score your first touchdown as a rookie, and you forget about the ball. And so, yeah, I should have let it spin a little more. It was a really good spin. It had a lot of RPMs on it. But the good thing about me or being able to play receiver is a lot of these plays, like Henry Ruggs against the Jets, Brian's first touchdown, I get front row seat. Like, I'm right there just watching it. I have the best view in the house. And so I'll be able to file that in my memory bank and tell his kids about it one day.
Again, Hunter Renfrow joins us here. 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfrow, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. And Hunter, you mentioned the young guys coming in this year, the fact that they didn't have an offseason. And I'm tired of asking them, and I know you're tired of answering them, but this will be the last time, and that is, I don't think people understand, you know, the rhythm of a normal offseason. Because some people say, well, yeah, OTAs, you're not hitting people, you're not doing this. But the whole kind of routine of what you went through your rookie season with the Raiders before COVID and having all of those off-season events, that was a really big deal for you, wasn't it, not to have that, especially for those younger players?
And the plays are one thing, and we can get to that. I mean, Gruden's very – he likes to have a lot of words, and which is a good thing. We're able to get and do a lot of stuff because of it, but – It's taxing on the mind, but I would say the biggest thing to me in the off season is just getting to know your teammates. You know, I mean, you show up August 1st and you don't know anybody, as opposed to being able to have all summer develop those relationships, knowing who you can count on, who you can go for advice. That's a big deal. So when you come middle of training camp and you're struggling, or you need some advice, or you just need to talk to somebody, you have those people you can talk to. And so it's weird. It was weird for them. It was good for me because I had that, but I can't imagine not having that side of things. And hopefully the rookies this year will have it. So we'll see.
This season, Darren Waller broke Tim Brown's record for franchise catches. And, I mean, that's a Hall of Famer we're talking about, Tim Brown. How big was that celebration in the locker room, not only for the victory, but for what Darren Waller has accomplished on and off the field the last two seasons with the Raiders?
Yeah, that dude is a baller. Like, half the game I'm just watching and admiring how good he is. I'll run my route knowing it's going to Darren, and I'll just – talk to the safety or DB and say, that dude's just unstoppable. And every single one of them agrees. They're like, yeah, you can't stop him. That's just how good he is. But that's a credit to how hard he works. Such a team guy. Everyone loves him, what he's been through, what he brings every day. Just one of the more special people I know. Cares about everyone. And so it's awesome to see a guy that works that hard and is so nice to everyone succeed, and you really cheer for those guys. So it was cool to see that record be broken, but it couldn't go to a more deserving guy.
Hunter, and I know the biggest measurement for a professional football player is team victories and what you guys do as a team. Yeah. But back when I saw you, when you were doing the event for the Dairy Council of Nevada at Rancho High School back after last season, I asked you the question, you know, after year one, what did you learn and what did you want to get better at? The one thing you told me right off the top was you wanted to learn to get stronger. You hurt your ribs in your first season and you said, hey, I just need to get stronger. I need to get in better shape. Talk about how you look so far, and I know you have to have some time to look at it. The season just ended yesterday, but how did you do in that area, and what do you think about that goal that you set for yourself last year about getting stronger?
I think I still need to get stronger. I think that's still a goal, and that will be a goal for some time now. But as you get stronger, you become more durable. And so for me, I wanted to get stronger, so I can play stronger and play faster, but so I can just be on the field when my teammates need me late in the season. And thankfully, I was able to play in all the games, and I didn't miss any practices. And so that was a personal goal I was able to accomplish. But, every week I have two notebooks. I have a notebook where I have game plan, and I have a notebook where I see something I want to work on in the off season. I jot it down, and so I have a big list of things I need to work on come a couple weeks from now. I'll probably take a little break, but got a whole long list of things I need to get better at. And so I'm excited to tackle them head on and be a better player next year so we can ultimately have more wins like you talked about earlier.
Is one of the goals for next season to be able to get a couple more flags thrown in your direction and your favor by the officials instead of getting drilled in the back and not getting the call?
I'm planning on going and catching it and getting the flag. So that's my goal for next season.
Nice.
So we'll see. Who knows? You know, play for the Raiders.
Now, Hunter, I know we'll have you on the next few weeks for a show before we say goodbye to you for the whole season. But I know as you go into the off season, of course, you have the impending birth of your first child, and we'll be eager to see that happen. But clearly, you're going to have to shift some of your focus to beating the other guys at golf. Who do you are you gonna beat Derek? Is he better than you at golf? Are you getting close? I know Foster Moreau. You guys were climbing mountains last year. What are you looking forward to outside, of course, of the start of your family? Oh, we lose him? We lost him. He hung up on me.
Your 13 minutes was up, brother.
He's like, man, you're 13. If you'd like 13 more minutes, please deposit 25 cents.
Yeah, man, that was like a prison phone, man. Like, you know, you have $7 left on your phone. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, Jack, you only got 10 seconds left. And then, you kept talking.
Funny. We'll see if Chris can get him back to say goodbye. But that's funny. That's too funny.
You got that prison phone treatment.
But remember, Hunter and Foster Moreau were like climbing mountains last year after playing golf. So I got to find out if they're going to do that again. Hunter, are you there?
Hey, look, man, once that baby's born, he ain't going to be doing nothing.
Yeah, there you go.
He's going to be in the house, maybe getting a little bit of film work in, and rest is going to have that baby wrapped around his hand.
Yeah, so there you go. Hunter, sorry we lost you there, man. And we were just talking about the off season. Now, Q says you're not leaving the house with the new baby. I'm saying you're going to get out and golf with the guys a little bit. Who are you going to take on? Like, who's the guy you want to overcome this year in golf? Is it Derek or is it somebody else?
Yeah, so me, Derek, Nate Peterman, quarterback, Marcus Mariota, Daniel Carlson, we have a good group, but I'm going after Derek. Derek, I think, is probably the best on the team right now by a couple strokes. So I don't know if I'm going to have to just get better trash talker, get in his head a little more, but I'm going to have to find a way. But we're gonna get after it for sure.
Now, when is the next mountain climb challenge with Foster Moreau? Are you guys going to do that again?
I'm serious. I have been thinking about that because the golf pro told me 5 minutes. That was kind of the standard we set. And he was like, oh, you could probably do it in 4.5. And so I was like, all right, it's not going to be that bad. And so I bet Derek like $20 I could do it in five minutes or less. And it took me like 7. And it's been eating me up since that day. And so I was in such bad shape. So my goal for this offseason is right before the season next year, I'm going to do it in like less than 4 minutes. That's my goal. And so that's going to give me a little something to strive for and beat Foster.
I love that. That's a great offseason goal, man. And again, I know we'll talk to you for the next couple weeks through January, and then you're done with us. But we'll talk some playoffs and things like that as we move forward in the NFL. We'd love to get your perspective on those games, including this weekend's upcoming wild card game. So we'll get your reaction to that and talk to you, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you about the baby when that time comes as well.
Awesome. Thank you all again, as always. Appreciate it.
All right. There you go. Thank 13 you. Minutes with Hunter Renfrow, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. Always good to catch up with him. I love that he's got those off-season goals of climbing a mountain within under 4 minutes. You know, you got to have goals, man.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Got to have them.
And I love that he wants to beat Carr in golf. That's great, man. We got to keep track of that. Maybe they'll share some videos with us of the progress there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do the Q-tip, and then we're going to be joined by our good friend Salmon Ash, as we are every Monday at 3:45. You're with Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson, Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gilbranson and Q Myers.
All right. It's that time on a Monday. We're a little off today. We have just jam-packed show today and tomorrow, 4 guests on each show, so timing is a little bit off, but it's time when you clear out your ears and you listen to the man. That's right. You listen to the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Today, I want to kind of talk about something that I mentioned on the podcast today, and I just think it's important to reiterate it, and really, it's kind of my gut feeling, and you know me, that's what I always roll with is my gut feeling, and you know, that win yesterday for the Raiders to go to 8-8 on the season is not a huge thing. You know, we just heard from Hunter Renfro, and it's a stepping stone. You know, it's something to build on, and that's what John Gruden said post-game. That's what he said, you know, hey, that's something for us to build on. I go back to, you know, 99. I go back to, you know, when John Gruden first started, 98, when he had his first season, 8-8. They lost that last game of the season to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they ended up 8-8. Then his second season in 99, they were at, you know, 7-8 again, just like the Raiders were yesterday, and they were playing the Chiefs, and there was rumors, there was reports, you know, John Gruden's going to get fired. The team is taking a step back, and that's when the Raiders had that historic victory that we talked to Tyrone Wheatley about earlier this year when they won 41-38 in overtime, big-time game right there, and ended 8-8, and then that was the jump off for the Raiders, you know, and look, I don't want to look at this just through silver and black glasses or get caught up in the moment, fall for a banana in the tailpipe. I don't want to get caught up, you know, a prisoner of the moment just because they won that game and went out on a high note. I think they should have done a lot better in this season, just like I told Hunter, and he agreed wholeheartedly. He thought they were a 10 or 11 win team. But with that being said, you saw the progress that they made under Gruden the first time. Is that guaranteed it's going to happen? No, it's not. I look at the first year John Gruden came back, 2018, that's basically a mulligan. That was the teardown year. Even though Raider Nation doesn't like it, I don't like it, but it was a teardown year. Last year was basically his first year of, okay, this is what we're going to do. They go 7-9. This year they go 8-8. They should, if progress continues, like, you know, like it looks like it's going to do, they should take that next step. Not guaranteeing they will, but I kind of compare that victory yesterday that the Raiders got over the Broncos in a game that's not as meaningful. I mean, they still end up with the number 17 overall pick in the draft. But when you look at it, I just feel like it's that similar. It's they have similarities. You know, it was Kansas City twice, 2 years in a row. This year, or with the you know, the second time around, it's Broncos 2 years in a row. They got that victory. I feel in my heart and in my gut that that is kind of the step that they needed to take. Even though I don't like it, I think they should have done more. I'm hoping that I'm right. Again, I could be totally wrong, but it's just kind of how I feel, and that's what I roll with, is my gut feeling.
Yeah, no, it's well said, and I think too, and you know, we're going to talk to Sam and Ash here in a minute, and we're going to talk about like New Year's resolutions and some of the things we want to do in the new year. And I think one of the things for me is to always accentuate and look at the positive, because you know what, it's easy to complain, it's easy to go out there and say that, oh no, the Raiders are terrible, they're far from their goal. Or you can look at it from the other side and say, hey, look, it's a step. And you never know when that big leap is going to come. You just don't know.
Right.
And yes, you want the Raiders to be able to make that. And I think there will be more pressure, no doubt, on the organization in year four under John Gruden to take that next step. You know, is one more win next year enough? Probably not. But I think that with what they have on offense and what they have on defense, or what they need to do on defense, they can get there pretty quickly. Because you could see them, as we talked about with Hunter, we could see them winning 10 games this year if they had just made a couple plays here and there. So to me, they're not that far. And you really have to look at it and just say, you know what? Don't buy into the negative. It is a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. That does not mean you can't be critical. It just means that if you accentuate the negative constantly, you're going to get negative results. Your mindset is going to be negative, and that's how you're going to live. That's how you're going to feel about everything, not just your Raider football fandom, but everything else in general. And so I think you're right, Q. You got to challenge yourself to look at those positives, look at the things that are going well, and keep an eye out for where critical discussion needs to happen, right?
Right, exactly. You know, and again, I mean, I can sit here and be like, this season sucked, and it was terrible, and they should have made the playoffs, and everything that we already know. You know what I mean? Like, I can say all that. We all, as fans, get it. Hey, man, this was disappointing, you know? It would have been more disappointing if they were 7-9. And I know one game is not a big deal, but at the end of the day, man, look, they improved a little bit. They went out on a high note. I believe I heard on the broadcast, and I could be wrong, and I hope I heard it incorrectly, I think Beth Moen said that the team had not finished the regular season finale with a win in 10 years.
Yeah, I have to look at that. I didn't hear that one.
We'll I that thought that sure. That's what she said. Now, like I said, wow. I totally could be wrong. I meant to text her and ask her, and I didn't. But I think that's what she said. And that kind of tells you a lot right there in itself.
It does. By the way, just a quick programming note. You guys may have seen, and we talked about a little bit last week, that Q has because he's so damn good at what he does, he is actually moving stations in Central Texas, the same radio group. He's now switching shows and on channels, right? You're going to Fox Sports there. there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for us, the time conflicts with this show. So Q's still going to be part of the show. He's not going anywhere from that perspective. It's just the way in which he participates in the show might be a little different for right now until we work on some other things that we're trying to work on. But nonetheless, I just want people to know that you'll still be part of the show, but that because you're so dang good at what you do, you've been given that opportunity down there. So it kind of conflicts with the time here on Silver and Black today.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. That's what they tell me. They tell me that's the reason why. But either way, you're right, man. And I appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, I got to do 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time, which is clearly right in the middle. I mean, the show here that I'm doing right now with you is from 4 to 6 Central Time. And so obviously I won't be able to do both at the same time. So I'm going to try to contribute as much as possible to the show. And you know, and then maybe some good things shake out for us in the near future. And then I can be there all the time doing what I, you know, really want to do. And so that's kind of the goal, and that's kind of what I'll be working towards. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm gonna have to, you know, miss a little bit, or miss, you know, the show for a while in some capacity, just because of the time change.
Yeah, and we're gonna work around that. We'll record some stuff with Q, because to me, Q's my partner. We love working together, and I love the energy that he brings. That's why this show has been successful since we launched it August 3rd. So we're gonna do that. How that works, we're still working on it, but we're gonna bring you that as well. So, but we wanted to let you know. So that's where we're at with that, because we didn't want all of a sudden Q to be his role changing a little bit, and that left up to the weird cesspool kind of stuff that happens out there. So nonetheless, that's where it's at, and we'll keep you abreast of everything that's going on. All right, we are now going to switch gears, and we're going to go to our guests, our good friends, Sam and Ash, of course, injury attorneys here in town, a proud sponsor, and they power this show. But we are here with the first time in the new year. Guys, what is it? I mean, look, I just said I want to make sure I accentuate the positive as much possible in all of my interactions moving into the new year. That's sort of my goal for the new year. Yeah, you can call it a resolution, whatever you want. What about for you guys? First of all, how was the holidays for both of you?
Well, hi, it was good. It was great. I was, I was in Europe visiting my son.
Yes.
Who's going to school out there. And so I got back last night. I had like a 24-hour day getting back. and it turns out it's just as cold here as it was there, at least overnight. So anyway, good to be back and excited for the new year.
How about you, Ashley? Oh, she's not there.
We don't have Ashley.
Did we lose her?
Well, it's because she heard Q was leaving, and that was it. I mean,
well, he's not leaving. He's just changing the participation for right now. He'll still be part of it. He's not going anywhere. Now he's starting some rumors, Q. What are we going to do? Sam's trying to give us trouble.
Hey, Q, as we join as sponsors. Yeah.
Oh, yes. We got you. We got you now, Ash.
I don't know. Somehow I got muted. It's okay. My vacation was a vacation somewhat. It was relaxing, and I'm very bummed about Q. I might be thinking of, I don't know, a radio afternoon. I don't know if you guys need someone. I might be available.
Hey, you're bummed that you're going to take my spot at the same time, man. Cool.
Oh, man. She's all set.
Q, it's competition.
Like, man, clearly.
See, it's not even... The ink isn't even dry on this, and Ashley's already, sliding in.
Tell him to move over. I got him.
opportunity strikes. But what about for you guys for the new year? I mean, you know, everybody talks about resolutions, but I tend to always look at the new year as just, hey, I want to do more of something that is a positive in my life. What about for you guys?
Ashley?
Ooh, I don't know. That's tough. The positivity one, that was something I picked up in 2020. When COVID hit and we had no idea what was going on, I really focused on being positive. I think in 2021, I'm going to look at being accountable. I think that's where I'm going to go. I want to be accountable to people. I don't want to have any excuses in my personal life, professional life, family relationships, et cetera. You know, just always being accountable, being there for people when they need me and they expect me to be there. So that's me.
Well, speaking of accountability, I don't mean to make a sour note on this. Josh Jacobs, we get the news about him before the show starts, about him, being, suspected of a DUI and everything. And obviously that's a major deal. Luckily, nobody got banged up and hurt. He got little bumps and bruises here and there, but it looks like everything is going to be okay. Now it's just a legal matter. what kind of like advice do you give a young man that, you know, is just having a good time, having a couple drinks, and one thing leads to another, and here he is?
Well, you know, in 1 minute or less, everything in your life can change. And, you know, we take apart these tragedies even, you know, past where the criminal justice system works. And we represent families who are, you know, looking for a little bit of compensation that never does anything really enough to make things right. And so what I see both sides of it. And there's nobody that leaves an incident like this unscathed and untouched. And, you know, I look at what, you know, what the, you know, basketball player from Bishop Gorman, you know, this is tragic, yeah, accident. He took out a father, a grandfather, an Army, a National Guard veteran, this guy, and it's tragic, and it was completely preventable. So these impaired driving DUI accidents are totally avoidable, and you avoid it by taking a cab, using Uber or Lyft, and don't get in your car after you've had any amount of alcohol. It's just that if you make that rule for yourself and you can have that kind of discipline, in, you know, in your life, then you won't have this happen, and potentially will save a family and, in fact, yourself from a tremendous amount of heartache.
Yeah, and Ashley, I know in this case, we're talking about Zion Collins, unfortunately, the young man who was driving impaired, or that's what's alleged. And the 52-year-old man, his name was Eric Echeverria, and grandfather, father, you know, obviously taken away from his family. And you look at this sort of thing, and I know that most people, and we've talked about it here on the show before, some people don't, that you can't replace a human being. Once somebody in your family that is beloved like that is gone, there's no amount of money that can do that. But it's important, is it not, part of the process to make sure that families like this, because they lose income, they lose all sorts of things, isn't it important for them to consider that after a loss like this too?
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. These families, no matter what happens, there's no way we can bring back their family member. But what the justice system, the civil justice system, allows us to do is try and replace those gaps and damages that the family member has also lost, like lost income, spousal support, and also just pain and suffering, you know, the loss of companionship for the remainder of their life. So absolutely. I mean, it's tragic what these accidents do to families on both sides, and it's unfortunate, but you have to seek your recovery and get what you're entitled to.
And it's also about accountability, because you know, this, right. And I think about the bicyclists that were run over by that guy who's basically, I mean, I don't know how to say, hopped up on meth, but he's driving for a company, it sounds like. And this company probably knew that he was, you know, that, or that he had some issues, or maybe should have known. And so it's a matter of holding not just the driver, but other people who are enabling potentially that driver and have been over a period of time enabling that driver to do these kind of things, to hold them accountable.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's a sad state, but again, that's why, you know, again, you need to make sure that when these things happen to you, that you look out for your family, because it's number one. We all love our families, and they're all important to us. And if something unfortunately happens, whether you lose them or they're injured, you need to make sure that he's out there looking out for you, because it's a strange world. You'd be surprised what people try to pull on you. So you make sure you have somebody in your corner to help you guys out, or to help you out. But guys, the last thing too is 2021 is here, right? So we all wanted 2020 over with. Now, it's not like just because the calendar switches, we're out of the pandemic completely.
Magic.
But magic. But you guys, you know, your employers in downtown Las Vegas, you're so active in this community in so many ways. I'm feeling bullish about Las Vegas starting to come out of this and get better. How are you guys feeling about it?
Absolutely. I think I see it already happening.
Yeah, and I think downtown's poised to make a stronger, more rapid recovery than the Strip, and it's exciting to see. You know, Circo's bringing a lot of energy, and then there's a lot of new restaurants in downtown in the Arts District, so it's fun to see the growth happening despite what 2020 did to everyone.
All right, there you go. I love hearing that. Boom. Because we all need some good news, right? So Sam and Ash, again, were our guests, and we thank you for your support as always. And next week we'll talk some playoff football too. We're gonna get some early Super Bowl picks, and we're gonna start to go through, even though we're only into a week into the NFL season, you start to see some of the Super Bowl props start to pop up a little bit. So we'll start talking about that and have some fun.
I love it. Can't wait,
guys.
All right, Sam and Ash, as always here on Mondays, we appreciate them. We appreciate you guys joining us. You take care. Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks to you. Take care.
Bye. All right, there you go. Sam and Ash.
There they go.
She's trying to take your job.
I know.
What's going on with that?
Oh, man. I don't know. At first, she was so sad, I thought I was going to say, well, you know, look, hey, I could just come down to Vegas and work for you. But then she said she's trying to take my spot. So I said, well, never mind.
No, that's good.
Yeah, take that thought back.
But man, we're gonna have a lot of time to kind of digest what happened in 2020 with the Raiders, and talk about what moves forward. And I know because of your new show, the time conflict and all that stuff. But we're still gonna have you a piece of it, so you're not going anywhere. But I want to congratulate you on the new show, and there's bigger things ahead for you anyway that you and I kind of know about and we're working on. So, but good luck with the show, and you'll still be a part of this one as long as you want to be.
Oh, all good. You know I'm here, man. I'm here and I'm down. I definitely appreciate you. It's been a blast.
Yeah, it's been fun, and we'll continue that as we move forward. All right, reminder, tomorrow's show, we'll have Marcus Johnson from Tape Don't Lie. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the Raiders offense. Max Crosby will be with us. We'll get his first reaction postseason to the performance. You know, he had some struggles, and obviously the defensive line did, so we'll have a candid interview with him about that. Vic Tafer from The Athletic will join us too. We'll his take on the Raiders 2020 and John Gruden's third year, and Jesse Merrick will join us as he does every Tuesday. Don't forget to subscribe here to the show so you get this feed no matter when you listen to it. If you miss us live, you can do that. Also, subscribe to Q's Locked On Raider podcast and his Locked On Bets podcast. Got to do that. And of course, Just Pod Baby by Evan Grote, too, to complete. You get four podcasts, all with great information, mostly Raiders, but also to help you make. Q's out there trying to make you money, right, Q?
That's right. I'm trying to hook it up, man. Trying to hook it up fat.
All right. For Q Myers, I have Scott Cabranes and Chris Chapman back in the studio. And our producer was David Stepanian. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.